Blog Talk Radio.
There's a place dear to me where I'm longing to be with my friends at the old country church. There with mother we went and our Sundays were spent with my friends at the old country church.
Precious years of memory. Oh, what joy they bring to me.
How I long once more to be with my friends at the old country church. As a small country boy, how my heart beat with joy when I knelt in the old country church. And the Savior above, by His wonderful love, saved my soul in the old country church.
Precious years of memory.
Oh, what joy they bring to me.
How I long once more to be
with my friends at the old country church. My thoughts make me weep, for so many now sleep in their graves near the old country church. And sometime I may rest with the friends I love best in a grave near the old country church.
Precious years of memory. Oh, what joy they bring to me.
With my friends at the old country church.
Well, good evening and greetings in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Let us pray. Most gracious Heavenly Father, fathers, we open your word this evening. I'm asking the Holy Spirit to come forward to be with us, to open our hearts and minds, Father, so that we can have greater understanding of this, your word, so that we can learn more of how to walk in it, Father, and with it, so that we can be closer with the Lord Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit. Because we know that the Holy Spirit is our comforter. He's sent, Father, to take care and to work with us as you have him to work with us. Father, I'm asking you to keep him with us, to help to study tonight and leading us into higher places. Now, Father, this is my prayer at this time in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. We're going to be going into communion. So if you're ready, get your bread. Give me a few seconds here. Now, we know that communion is for remembrance of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we need to always remember the price he paid for you and I to have a way to make heaven our home and the pain that he bore. But we also need to remember that he is our great physician. He is our healer. And that we can put our faith and our trust in him for all things that we need. All right, now, you got your bread. We know that on the same night in which he was betrayed, he took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. Thank you, Lord. Now get your cup, and after the same manner also, he took the cup, and when he had supped, saying, this cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye, as often as you drink it, in remembrance of me. Drink your cup. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death till he comes. Now, tonight, we're going to be in the ninth chapter of 1 Corinthians. So, give you a minute to get there. Now, here in verse 1, am I not an apostle? Am I not free? Have I not seen Jesus Christ our Lord? Are not ye my work in the Lord? You see, Paul here, he's letting us know that he has seen the Lord Jesus Christ. And this follows to substantiate his claim to apostleship. And all the questions in this verse expect a positive answer. You know, he's looking for them to know why and how he has the authority and the power that he is carrying. And he's letting them know. Wow. Two. If I be not an apostle unto others, doubtless I am to you, for the seal of my apostleship are in the Lord. He let them know exactly. This seal of being an apostle is given to him by the Lord Jesus Christ. Think about that. Now, he's wanting to make sure they know it. If you are a child of God, what has he got you doing? And are you as positive about yours as Paul was about his? Most are not, really. And some, he always changes from time to time. So we need to always be in touch with him. In prayer, communicating with him so that we know and stand assured in what we are to be doing. Now, mine answer to them that do examine me is this. Four, have we not power to eat and to drink? Five, have we not power to lead about a sister, a wife, as well as other apostles, and as the brethren of the Lord and Cephas? You know, we talking here about leading about a sister. Paul had the prerogative to take a wife and bring her on his journeys with him. as unto the apostle did, to the brother of the Lord and Cephas. This shows the fallacy of those who promote celibacy among the clergy by citing the example of the apostles. Because you see, we know they were several of the apostles that were married. We don't know all, but we, in our studies, we have seen where several of them had wives. Now, Paul's letting them know that he could have one if he wanted. It would be all right. Now, and he's wanting them to know the ministry and the ministers did not have to stay celibate, single. Now, six. Are I only and Barnabas, have not we power to forbear working? Seven. Who goeth to warfare any time at his own charges? Who planteth the vineyard and eateth not of the fruit thereof? Or who feedeth the flock and eateth not of the milk of the flock? Now we're getting into something here a little different. Because now he's working and letting them know that the apostles and the ministers out here, their pastors and things of these churches, they have a right to be taken care of. Although Paul is not seeking that for himself, but he's letting them know that even if he was, that it would be more than right. Now, he goes on here in 8. Say I these things as a man, or saith not the law the same also? 9. For it is written in the law of Moses, thou shalt not muzzle the mouth of the ox that treadeth at the corn. Does God take care of oxen? You see, that was in the law of Moses. When they were working in the cornfields, they couldn't muzzle those oxen. They were allowed to eat of what they were taking care of. Now, he's letting them know that if God will take care of oxen, he's also made a way for mankind, too. Now, 10. Or saith he it altogether for our sakes? For our sakes, no doubt, this is written, that he that ploweth should plow in hope, and that he that thresheth in hope should be partakers of his hope. Now, 11. If we have sworn unto you spiritual things, is it a great thing if we shall reap carnal things? And he's talking here, and he's saying if we have sown unto you spiritual things. In other words, his giving of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ and other things that the Spirit is sharing with him as he goes about the Lord's business. And he's letting them know. You know, don't we deserve to reap your carnal things? In other words, he's talking about the things that is needful of the flesh to sustain it here on this earth. 12. if others be partakers of this power over you, or not we rather? Nevertheless, we have not used this power, but suffer all things, lest we should hinder the gospel of Christ. He's letting them know they've been taking care of themselves and not going to them for help to themselves, because he didn't want anything to hurt this teaching of the gospel. Now, spiritual things and carnal things that are mentioned there in 11 and 12, all as their minister and teacher imparted to them spiritual things. Would it then be improper if he should expect remunerations to sustain the body? The farmer spiritual refers to things of infinite value, and the latter is carnal things of only temporal value, the words of this life. Now, 13. Do you not know that they which minister about holy things live of the things of the temple, and they which wait at the altar are partakers with the altar? Well, we know that under the law, Mosaic law, that's the way it was. The priests were to tear out the temple, and the people were to see that it was supplied. Now, 14. Even so has the Lord ordained that they which preach the gospel should live of the gospel. Now, to live of the gospel is, in other words, they're making a living by preaching the gospel. The ministers of the gospel in the New Testament have no less holy vocation than the priests of the Old Testament. They have the right to receive remunerations, the rations, for their work. Now, But I have used none of those things, neither have I written these things, that it should be so done unto me. For it were better for me to die than any man should make my glory void. He wants nothing to stand in his way of his teaching the gospel as it should be taught and receiving the glory of Almighty God for himself and those with him. For though I preach the gospel, I have nothing to glory of. Pardon. For necessity is laid upon me. Yea, woe is unto me if I preach not the gospel. 17. For if I do this thing willingly, I have a reward. Against my will, a dispensation of the gospel is committed unto me. See, he's letting us know that we don't preach the gospel against our will. If you do, you're not going to receive any rewards. You're going to wind up and see through it here with a dispensation. In other words, there's going to be no reward that you can bet on that. Now, you see, against my will, the apostle is not implying that he was an unwilling servant of the Lord. He is simply drawing a distinction between what was optional for him and what was obligatory for him. Paul was given a dispensation, a commission, a stewardship to preach. That was enough. And then Luke lets us know that a steward received no pay. He was merely a slave doing his assigned task faithfully. And this is what and why we are to continue going and to do it faithfully. And with the love of Almighty God and the Lord Jesus Christ in our hearts and in our minds. And doing the best we can understand from the word of Almighty God. And then being lifted up from session to session by the Holy Spirit of Almighty God to gain more from the Lord when we step out of this life and into the next. Now, he says, what is my reward then? Verily that when I preach the gospel, I may make pardon me a moment. Now, he says that I may make the gospel of Christ without charge, that I abuse not my power in the gospel. Now, 19. For though I be free from all men, yet have I made myself servant unto all, that I might gain the more. Now, this foremost statement, if I might gain more. This foremost statement here. Interest was to preach the gospel and win men to Jesus Christ. Whatever it took in terms of loss of personal freedom, he was prepared to pay the price. How many today that are preaching in our churches are really ready to pay a dear price for doing their job? Not many. In fact, all you have to do is cut someone's pay and they quit. Now, 19. For though I be free from all men, yet have I made myself servant of all, that I might gain the more. 20. And unto the Jews, I became as a Jew, that I might gain the Jews to them that are under the law, as under the law, that I might gain them that are under the law. He's always speaking about the law here. Now, And yet, the Lord, you see, fulfilled that law. And this is why we preach today, is to bring them from the law and the ways of this world to a saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ and bring them unto grace. Think about that. Now, To the weak became I as weak, that I might gain the weak. I have made all things to all men, that I might by all means save some. Now we can talk about becoming as others, but we cannot leave the Lord Jesus Christ and Almighty God. We can't go back into sin, no, to gain that sin. We are an example to him. We are to teach the gospel as it should be taught, in honesty and truth. Now, this I do for the gospel's sake, that I might be partaker thereof with you. 24. Know ye not that they which run a race run all, but one receiveth the prize? So run, that you may obtain. Paul draws on it seems familiar to the Corinthian readers in order to drive home this point. You see, they had the Isthmian Games were an athletic event known to all of these readers. They were held on alternate summers in the vicinity of Corinth. It was an event not to be missed by anyone of importance. In all parts of Greece, as a national institution, it was as familiar to his readers as modern football to Americans. Now, 25, and every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible. And that's what we are all like. That crown of glory that God will give us and all that serve him. All that has been born again and become his. Now, 26. Paul says here, I therefore so run not as uncertainly, so fight I not as one that beateth the air. 27. But I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest that by any means, when I preach to others, I myself should be a castaway. And you see, that's something Paul never wanted to be, and you and I should be the same way. Not to be having Bible studies and all, and helping others, and then myself be a castaway. No, I don't want that. That's why I want to keep on serving the Lord Jesus Christ according to his will and his way. Not mine. Now, He was on the boat being a castaway. And I myself will not be disqualified. I, Paul, is not afraid of losing his salvation. His subject is still Christian liberty. The point is that the believer must discipline himself to avert both being disqualified from Christian ministry and forfeiting the rewards for such service. Think about this. Think about it. We have now come to the end of chapter 9. We will stop here for the night and go to the Lord in prayer. Most gracious Heavenly Father, Father, once again, as I close your word, I thank you for your word, Father. I thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ and for the Holy Spirit. Father, I pray for Israel. I pray for them to have peace, Father, that this destruction stop. And I pray, Father, that they will all accept the Lord Jesus Christ, Father, as their Savior and as their Messiah. For this land in which we live. Here in the last few years, so much evil has been brought upon this land by those that are sitting in offices in higher places, Father. And I pray that they can be removed from office and replaced with those that love you, that love the Lord Jesus Christ, loves the church and loves your people, and loves this land, so that they will work with us, Father, in bringing about repentance to this land, and helping us to put our government back upon the foundation in which it was founded, that being your word, Father, in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, Father, I pray for those that are in my heart. I pray, Father, for Kenny Powers, for Dennis Lee, for James Taylor, for Amy, Bond, for Jacob, for Billy and Bobby Johnson, for my wife, Father, for Courtney and Shane, for Sue Benson, for Daryl and Debbie, for Father, for Chris, for Sam, for their family, Father, that they can move closer to you. So everything comes about as it should be, Father. They are a nice couple, but they are in need. And I'm praying and asking for that need to be met. And myself, Father, do you know this that has come upon me? And I know, Lord, that you are the healer. And it's by your stripes we are healed. And I lay claim to that healing, Father, and believe it's being done at this time. Not healing, Father, anymore. Father, as we separate for the evening, I pray that each one, Father, that as they go into the night, are kept in hell, kept safe, and bring them back in the morning, Father, and back into your work. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. All right, have a great day. Good day, everyone.